Babbitt pushes safety management systems for business aviation. Carlgaard says this is 1974 all over again, for good and bad. And Buffenbarger has 8 words he wants in the next State of the Union address. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 22, 2009. Several aviation luminaries offered their personal takes on the state of business and general aviation during opening addresses at NBAA 2009 in Orlando on Tuesday. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt praised corporate aviation for its safety record, but added that one fatal accident is one too many, and promoted the adoption of safety management systems. Quote, SMS will help us connect the dots with the data. Professionalism and mentoring will help us put it all to good use. Unquote. Rich Carlgaard, publisher of Forbes magazine and the owner and pilot of a business airplane, says what looked like an ordinary recession in 2008 was transformed through policy errors into a bad recession comparable to the one of 1973 and 74. Carlgaard added that the recovery from this recession may be similar to the one in the late 70s. He foresees a return to inflation and eventually stagflation, and he predicts a lot of stories will be written about a jobless recovery. Nevertheless, he pointed out that history shows the 70s was a good time for entrepreneurs, with the launches of FedEx, Southwest Airlines, Microsoft, Apple, Oracle, Intel, and Schwab. Noting the commitment to growth in China and other economies, and what he sees as the historical precedent of the 70s, Carlgaard found reason to be hopeful. Quote, short term maybe not so much, but if you look at the history of the 1970s and the innovation that occurred in a lousy economic decade, and you look at what's happening around the planet, I don't know if a year from now or 2 years from now we're going to come back as happy as we were 2 years ago, but I guarantee in 3 or 4 years we will, unquote. Tom Buffenbarger, president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, recognized the need to work together with aviation advocacy groups. Quote, we can fight our separate fights or fight together as a team. I hope we decide to fight together as a team, unquote. Of the 30,000 lost aerospace jobs in the last year, he added, quote, I want them building airplanes again, and I know you do too, unquote. Buffenbarger, whose invitation to President Obama to visit Wichita has so far been famously ignored, also criticized the hypocrisy of federal lawmakers, who use private aircraft themselves for the same productivity reasons as business people do, yet grandstand to score cheap points with constituents. He called on attendees to contact the White House in an effort to have 8 words placed in the State of the Union address that will be delivered early next year. They are, business aviation is vital to America's economic recovery. He says if the White House won't do it, the Republican response should take that opportunity. In today's Aero News special feature, ANN's Jim Campbell, who's at NBAA, shares a microphone with Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo to talk about the collapse and the recovery of the business aviation segment. Up next on ANN, who knew VLJs dated back a half century? Cessna's green track flight planning will get you ready for cap and trade. And Embraer lands its first European customer for the Legacy 650. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. JetSet Aviation Holdings SAS announced on Tuesday that it has reached an agreement with Sakata for the purchase and transfer of the type certificate and associated rights for what in retrospect could be called the world's first VLJ, the MS-760 Paris jet. The four-seat twin-engine jet was originally designed, manufactured, and certified in France by aviation pioneer Maureen Saulnier. It cruises at 400 miles an hour and has a range of 1,000 miles. It was first certified by the FAA on July 3, 1958, and was introduced by Beechcraft as the first U.S. business jet. A new entity called MS-760 Corp. will license the type certificate and provide engineering, sales, and other related services for the platform. The company says it already has acquired the manufacturer's drawings, tooling, spare parts, and a fleet of over 30 aircraft it hopes to upgrade and sell. Among the upgrades being researched are a turbofan engine. To promote the plane, a two-ship aerobatic team, led by Captain Dale Snodgrass, will showcase the aerobatic and precision flight capabilities of the aircraft, which is certified in the U.S. in the utility category. Stephen Fox, president of MS-760 Holding Corp., an owner of a Paris jet himself, commented, quote, "The MS-760 has long been admired for its ease of maintenance, robust design, four-passenger capability, flight characteristics, and low operating costs. A planned turbofan upgrade now in development should make the redefined MS-760 aircraft an incredible investment," unquote. A standard-equipped MS-760 with flight training included and other special 2009 incentives will sell for about $550,000. Avadyne, Garmin, and Shelton Avionics are available, and the company says a refurbishment completed this year could qualify for bonus depreciation in the U.S. All this talk of cap and trade has some in business aviation worried, but it's making work for software writers. Cessna told NBAA goers its next update to CessNav will incorporate new software called GreenTrack Flight Planning. The proprietary software uses cost indexing to help Citation jet operators plan individual flights to optimize performance, fuel efficiency, and carbon footprint. The company claims an improvement of 8 to 16% depending on the specific aircraft and mission. Senior VP Mark Pellucci says the trick is borrowed from the airlines, but this system is designed just for GA. Quote, "Worldwide aviation operations account for only 3% of total greenhouse gas emissions, and general aviation accounts for a fraction of that. But we intend to continue to lower it even more through programs like GreenTrack," unquote. The program can be run on the crew's electronic flight bag for in-flight adjustments as circumstances demand. Get details under the heading Newsroom at Cessna.com. Embraer has announced that Aircraft Asset Management of Germany will be its first European customer for the Legacy 650 executive jet. The manufacturer says AAM has signed a contract for two of the planes, which are expected to start winding up in customers' hands in the second half of 2010. The value of the contract at list price is $59 million U.S. This deal was already included in Embraer's firm order backlog announcement for the third quarter of 2009. AAM previously ordered three Legacy 600s in 2007. Rolls-Royce used NBAA to officially roll out the new AE3007A2 engine. This is the engine chosen to be the exclusive power plant for Embraer's Legacy 650, and it's fitted to both aircraft currently in flight test, which made their first flights last month. Rolls says the A2 offers 6 to 12% higher altitude takeoff and climb thrust than its predecessor, while maintaining 90% parts commonality with the earlier engines, which have accumulated over 35 million hours. Still ahead, Dassault Falcon celebrates the hardest working 7X in the sky. Alexander Craig takes over from Michael Lemaire as CEO at Stratus. And TSA gets even more involved with your bodily functions. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. Dassault Falcon is bragging a little bit about the hardest working Falcon 7X in the air. Serial number 4 recently passed the 2,000-hour mark after 2 years in service with Dasnair in Geneva, Switzerland. The plane has traveled 800,000 miles, carried over 2,100 passengers, and made 543 stops in 73 countries. Angelo Conti, managing director of Dasnair, remarked, quote, "The Falcon 7X has been well received by our customers who have experienced the superior comfort of its wide and bright cabin," unquote. The manufacturer says the plane's 13-hour duration dictated special cabin considerations. The 7X got 28 windows, which are 10% bigger than those on previous Falcons. It also features a low in-flight cabin altitude of 6,000 feet, even when it's flying at 51,000. The passenger environment is held to within 1 degree variation throughout the entire cabin. The company says the 7X is also praised by its passengers for its library quiet cabin, the result of breakthroughs in design, materials, and cushioned engine mounts. In another milestone, Dassault Falcon says it recently delivered the 100th Falcon 900 EX Easy into service. As of September 30, 2009, the fleet had performed over 80,000 takeoffs and landings and accrued 157,000 flight hours. Stratus Aircraft, which is developing a four-seat, 400-knot, 1,500-mile aircraft it calls a VPLJ for Very Light Personal Jet, introduced a new CEO at NBAA. Alexander Craig takes over CEO from Michael Lemaire, who remains as chairman, and commented, quote, "Alex brings strong leadership, exceptional vision, and a successful aerospace track record to Stratus Aircraft. I am confident he will play an integral part in the successful launch of our 714 personal jet," unquote. Craig started in software, and his resume includes positions with Williams International, Honeywell, Rockwell International, and Boeing. Stratus recently started taking customer deposits on the 714. NBAA 2009 will officially wrap up today in Orlando, and there's been a lot of optimism about the year ahead in the economy. But I saw a headline yesterday that provided a reality check. It said, quote, "Continental beats expectations with $18 million loss," unquote. I'm afraid my expectation is we'll know the recovery is underway when fuel prices go nuts again. And if that sounds like pessimism, I'll try from now on to keep it to myself. Finally today, former Georgia Congressman Bob Barr writes a blog for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's newspaper's website, and he's on a topic this week that just strikes me funny. Quote, "Earlier this year, I wrote about TSA's fixation with technology as evidenced by its plan to greatly expand the number of full-body X-ray machines at airports. Well, those lovable folks at TSA have taken yet another step in their relentless drive to bring 1984 front and center to America's airports. Eager always to take advantage of the willingness of passengers to surrender all sense of privacy if made to feel safe, DHS is spending millions of our tax dollars to develop technology that would remotely monitor certain bodily functions and alert TSA employees whenever someone is exuding signs of nervousness," unquote. Now, depending on what those suspicious bodily functions are exactly, they might have saved a ton of money hiring a bunch of 7-year-old boys and just waited for the giggles. But back to Barr's blog, which continues in part, quote, "One of the more intriguing aspects of this program is the fact that the technology and its human screeners would be looking not only for persons exhibiting elevated levels of those bodily functions deemed suspicious, they would also target people not exhibiting such signals. In other words, you can't win. If your bodily functions convey evidence of nervousness, you would catch the attention of the TSA screeners. But if you don't exhibit any such signs as monitored by the machinery, you'd fall within their sights as well, because you'd be presumed to be deliberately attempting to avoid detection," unquote. If the growing intrusiveness and hassle Barr describes is truly the future of airline travel, I feel a whole lot better about the future of general aviation. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, conversations with Gulfstream's Joe Lombardo and Hawker Beechcraft's Bill Boyster from NBAA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.